The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith. Welcome back to my podcast. Well, assuming you've heard it before. If you haven't, then it'll be the first one. You can get this, as we know, on bulls.com, and you could subscribe on iTunes. Now, I'm not exactly sure how that all works myself. We've been through that. I know I don't get paid any more extra for it. In fact, you know, I even got the pre-check at the airport, and I'm still waiting in the long lines. I don't even get to use that. I'm digressing here. That's a different issue I've got to take up with Homeland Security and Dick Cheney. Anyway, the story these days, obviously in the NBA, is how do you beat the Heat? As I'm doing this, it's before the Bulls are playing the Heat. Miami's got 27 in a row. So if you're listening to it either before or after the Bulls' Wednesday game in the United Center against Miami, and this isn't obviously 27 games in a row is impressive. I know a lot of people like to run down streaks involving the Heat and LeBron James not being the most popular team, but not nearly as unpopular as they were a couple of years ago. And really, if you sit back and, well, you could stand too. But if you look at this, I mean, the team is really playing fabulous. Clearly a dominant team in the league, and hard to see who's going to be able to beat them. Certainly nobody in the Eastern Conference, even without, you know, Wade's missed a couple of games, although he was due to play in Chicago. And the West, as we've discussed, is kind of taking a little step back with Harden out of Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Sometimes injuries and age. No one's writing them off. They're tops in the West, but have been a vulnerable playoff team. Now, so the question again comes, not only can anybody stop the Heat, and again, that's a second digression here, but I mean, this is the notion as well. This is a watered-down league with 30 teams. And they've played a bunch of bad teams. They were behind and losing by a lot to Cleveland, which gagged without Kyrie Irving. And they were way down in Boston, which they've gagged. You know, Rondo's out, and they've hit a lot of teams. And, you know, 30 years from now or 20 or 10 or whatever, I mean, you don't remember who the Bulls beat when they were 72-10. Wasn't exactly the greatest Eastern Conference has ever been. You don't remember the 71-72 Lakers, who, when I was looking back, was interesting, played four sets of back-to-back-to-back. And it was interesting. I remember enough about those games and that era is that you didn't nearly hear players complain about back-to-backs nearly as much as they do now. And certainly with media coaching and help, invariably on a back-to-back, you'll hear a post-game media question about to the team that lost as the effect of the back-to-back, which should be an eye-rolling sort of answer, and often is, because it's pretty ludicrous given the travel schedule, or the travel, first-class travel, charter planes leaving after the game back then, and consider what the Lakers were doing, and that speaks a lot for their own streak, their 33-game streak. But they had four sets during that streak, which lasted 2 months from early November to early January, four sets of three games in a row. And what they usually do back then is you'd play the first two either home or close to home, and then you'd go cross country for the third game, which would be the next day. And it'd be the first plane out. Who'd you know when you'd arrive late in the afternoon, go straight to the arena. As I said, wasn't a lot of complaining about it compared to this era, where not only they're on chartered planes after the game, but have catered meals for every one of those flights. But that said, the 70s worked against the Lakers in that sense. I thought the 70s was probably the worst era the NBA's ever had because of the ABA. The ABA is starting to get a little more credit now in the sense of guys getting into Hall of Fame. Mel Daniels, Roger Brown, last couple of years. Artis Gilmore, mostly from his ABA career. Very deserving guys. But if you look back at those ABA rosters in the early 70s, you'll see half a dozen or more Hall of Fame players, Dr. J and Rick Barry and Gilmore, Roger Brown, Mel Daniels, a lot of high-level players. Bulls lost out on a heck of a lot of them. Ralph Simpson, who was a very high-level player who the Bulls tried to get, went to the ABA. Maurice Lucas, similarly, with the Bulls losing him and ending up with your Kennedy McIntosh-type players. And so the ABA really peeled off an awful lot of the stars. It didn't have great depth, but it had, you know, half, four, five, six teams with a lot of star-level players. Indiana was a terrific franchise. Kentucky Colonels, terrific franchise. Nets were a very good franchise, especially when, you know, Julius Erving was there. So you factor that in, too, against the Lakers. You say, well, would they have won 33 in a row if those level of players had been in the NBA back then? And, you know, the point is they did. They won 33 in a row. They played against who was there. And so it's deserving, much as Miami's streak is the same way. So the question comes down, how do you beat Miami? Not only for the streak, but, you know, in the playoffs, can they be beaten? And, of course, they can. Anybody could. In the 90s, when nobody did beat the Bulls, I think Phoenix felt they would have beaten them or should have beaten them. Utah felt to this day they should have beaten them, could have beaten them. The Knicks, even in 92 when they played a seventh game in the conference semifinals, and in 93 when they had the conference final series and they were up 2-0, and then the famous block on Charles Smith in game five. So, and in Indiana in 1998 in game seven in the conference finals, a jump ball with 5 minutes to go goes Indiana's way. Larry Bird to this day will tell you they get that jump ball, they would have won that series. So that said, those were close, but the Bulls won them, and historically that one counts. Now, you know, I was looking from the Bulls standpoint, one of the things I like, and now I know Thibodeau's, who's a terrific coach, obviously, goes without saying, but you know he likes me to say it, so I do whenever I can. But you know, very traditional coach, standard coach. I kind of like when you're kind of an underdog and you're facing this kind of situation. I like to try some things to, you know, cross up the other team. You know, Don Nelson kind of stuff. And that's what I always felt was the strength of Nelson. Not to say he won any championships as a coach, which he didn't, nor got out of the first round very often. You know, but he could throw something at you which sets you back. And in a playoff series or in a big game, you know, in a case, breaking a streak just only takes that. And, you know, there's a couple of things about Miami. One is obviously you can't let them get out, transition, that whole thing. I don't think that's that big a deal. You know, with the Bulls, you can make some turnovers. Look, the Bulls are a good passing team. I wouldn't back off that. You know, you let them run out a few times, dunk. Certainly not. It's not going to change the momentum, you know, when they're on the road. So I think you play your offense. The thing with Miami, well, the larger thing is they say you can't play them small. They play small, obviously, with Chris Bosh at center and Haslam. And you can't beat them small because they're smalls, the notion small-level players. LeBron James hardly small, the size of Karl Malone, basically. But their smalls are better than your smalls, whoever they are, even if they're Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are better, you know. And then they are a better team than they were last year, because last year they were relying off on Mike Miller, who was injured a lot, to spread the court, and now they've got Battier with Ray Allen. So they are a better team than they were last year when they won. But why I thought, and I think the book actually, and the teams they've had the most trouble with are the physical teams that have some size, which is pretty obvious because, you know, Bosh is not a guy who likes a lot of contact, doesn't like to play physical. You can drive him out on a perimeter. If you remember a couple of years ago when Omer Asik continued to play him physically in a game, and I think he got injured, and he questioned why Omer would play hard in a game that was, you know, out of contested at the time. But that's the point. They don't like that. LeBron, no, forget him. He'll take any, you know, great player like him, like Michael Jordan. You can do anything you want to them. But that's where you can take advantage of some of the other Miami guys. And one of the things, you want to start traditionally. I think Wade said he was going to play, even though Joakim Noah is a day-to-day. I kind of think he would play as well. And I think you sort of start, you know, going big, and you try to pound them as much as you can. You know, you have Noah on Bosch, chase him around, play him physically. You have the combination. You probably start Boozer with Haslam, because Haslam's the lesser scorer. You know, then you go to Gibson for the physical play. The Bulls generally play Ding on James. And, Bellinelli is questionable, and so maybe Jimmy Butler starts again after a, you know, heck of an effort against Minnesota. Maybe he plays Wade. I think when you start, you know, maybe making some substitutions, where I'd like to take some, I would take some shots at Miami with matchups that I think you can take advantage of. I would put Dang on Wade. You know, Wade is a guy who doesn't, he's not a very good shooter, doesn't like to stay outside, and you want, I think you want to put length on him, a long player like Dang, who can stay on the floor. You don't go for his pump fake. I'm still amazed guys go for Wade's pump fake, and it's a good one. But you stay on the floor against him. You stay big and keep him on the outside. And I would take a shot with of all guys, I would put Nate Robinson on LeBron. This is, you know, this is sort of the it's that Nelson thing, which I got a kick out of a couple of times. He'd have some success where you put a little guy on a non-scoring center, and it would be sort of so embarrassing that the team would, you know, go into the post against the guy, you know, Sam Manute Bol, who's not used to scoring. Not that LeBron would have trouble scoring, but LeBron doesn't want to beat you scoring. And Nate, you know, if he will play like that, and you would think he would in a game like James, to me, what you want to play James is you really want to body him up and play him physically. Now, he's a better physical specimen than you are, whoever you are playing him. But you bother him that way. And especially, you know, he would be almost insulted with a guy like Nate Robinson on him. This, you know, this kind of Nate the Gnat on him. And this is not John Lucas, where he sort of scaled over him a couple of years ago and dunked. This is a football player. Nate was a college, Division I level football player, plays physically. And the few games, he tends not to think about his defense all that much. But if you sort of take the offense out of it, and give him the challenge of playing LeBron, that would be a nice changeup. Play him physically, bump him, you know, sort of challenge him to score. Which teams, you know, I've seen over the years tried to do that to Jordan. Now, Jordan, the difference was he wanted to score, was looking to score. LeBron wants to set guys up and wants the ball moving around. And, you know, it is one of his great gifts that he sees the game and the floor that way. Now, he's answered the critics by finishing games when he has to, which he hadn't done as much in previous years. You know, with that, you know, it's sort of an unusual lineup like that, a combination of playing him physically, and then I'd get Gibson out on Bosch and really bang him around, play him physically, keep Dang on Wade. You know, and then you can get a guy like Jimmy Butler to go off to Ray Allen and just sort of stay with him. If you stay with Ray, just stay in his face. Don't give him those open shots. You know, you do have a shot to get them. You know, they're not an overwhelming team other than LeBron James. And so I think you sort of change them up, given you're an underdog anyway. Like I said, the book is you play them, you go big, you try to out-rebound them, you play them physical. But I would throw some different stuff at them like that. A little bit of Robinson maybe, a little bit of Dang, switch up on Wade. You know, Heinrich also has bothered Wade, plays him physical. Wade doesn't like that. Remember when he threw Rip Hamilton into the stands about a year ago in Miami. Doesn't like being bumped around. Doesn't like being played physical. You know, he can deal with it, but it tends to take him out of his game and gets him to complain into the refs a lot, and then he doesn't run back on defense. You know, he's been out a couple of games with a bad knee, so maybe he's not at full strength. So there are ways to get to them, both physically and mentally. And so it'd be interesting to see if anybody takes a shot that way. But one of the issues, I think the Bulls, even without Derrick Rose, and while TV and a lot of fans would love him to play against Miami, that would be the wrong game. I don't believe he's going to play, but I would hate to see him come back in that sort of game, where I think it would hurt the team playing, you know, short minutes, because I think this is a game where you get in, make it a physical game, make it a roughhouse game, you know, and then see if you could make a couple of shots. Now, that said, you know, we're maybe 10, 12, 14 games for most everybody, most of the teams remaining. And you can see the matchups are starting to settle in pretty much. It looks like Miami and Milwaukee are going to be, you know, Milwaukee's going to be stuck in that eight spot, getting Miami in the first round. But, you know, if you're going to lose in a first-round series, I think I'd rather do it after, like, a week in Miami or, you know, 3 or 4 days, given April is really nice weather down there. Better than maybe in Brooklyn if you were going to lose. But that said, you know, that's the point. You can beat any of those two, three, and four teams, whoever they're going to be in the East. It looks like it's going to be some combination of the Pacers, the Knicks, and the Nets. All of who are flawed. David West has been out, you know, now Indiana's packing up some injuries. You saw them come into Chicago and the Bulls have a good game and beat them. And Indiana, you know, Larry Bird, which turned it over to Donnie Walsh this year. Bird especially done a great job in really building that team from nowhere without a star. They don't, you know, they made a great draft pick on Paul George, a number 10 in the draft, but, you know, they've really done it without your Max kind of star. Danny Granger's been out for the season. West was a nice free agency pickup, but hardly considered a top of the class kind of guy, like, you know, your James Wade, Joe Johnson, Bosch free agency year. So that said, you know, good solid team, but a team's not going to overwhelm you. Just has to play hard, and you could be in a series with. Same with the Knicks. You know, given, you know, they've had a lot of injuries as well. They've gotten back to a lot of the isolation ball with Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith, you know, two mostly selfish players. And similarly with Brooklyn, Deron Williams has played a lot better since the All-Star break, but Joe Johnson has kind of tailed off, had some foot problems. And, you know, Brook Lopez is not a aggressive big man. So, you know, I think while the East is going to be Miami in the finals, almost certainly we would assume it should be a great playoffs, and any possibility with now Milwaukee almost seeming locked into eight, with any of those 5, 6, and 7 teams, you know, Atlanta, Chicago, and Boston haven't especially, you know, Garnett's out for a couple of weeks now maybe, but any of those three teams having a good shot and beating any of the top, you know, the 2, 3, 4 teams. Now, going on to the West, obviously the Lakers now again, who it looked like they were going to pretty good shot to have the eighth spot or even move up, you know, faded again, taking some tough losses. And now you've got not only Utah in the mix, but Dallas and Portland on the edge there. So that eighth spot, you know, not cinched up and with two or three teams, you know, with a legitimate shot. And that's as far as you'll get. You know, Houston spread it out and Golden State spread it out. So it's unlikely anyone's going to get to 6 or 7. And, you know, Oklahoma City still has a chance to get to San Antonio, although the, you know, Spurs play so solid and consistently. And really the big issue is going to be that 3, 4, 5. You know, Memphis looks like it might take a little fall now because of Marc Gasol's injury. But Denver and the Clippers have been sort of up and down, inconsistent, disappointed in their play. And so that three spot's going to be big, because you don't want to get in the 4 or 5, because then you're going to be playing a team even, you know, pretty much even with you. And you want to get to 3 and have that shot maybe at Golden State, which, you know, will kind of be glad to have pretty much made the playoffs. Not that it would give up, and, you know, good shooting team can be explosive, but a lot better opportunity to get. So, I think the playoffs are really setting up as a result in both conferences to be, you know, some of the best playoff series matchups really we've seen in years, down from 1 through 8, other than Miami and Milwaukee. I think we're going to have pretty much great series as everywhere else. And so, and then, you know, the question will be, can anybody, you know, get a shot at Miami? I think you can take him out, like I talked about with some of those matchups, playing him physically for a game. Hard to see how you could beat him 4 games over 2 weeks, but, you know, that's the great fun about having a great team like the Bulls were in the 90s, Celtics in the 60s, the Cowboys in football, usually take sides on a great team. Can you beat him? Or are they going to continue? And so, you know, we'll find out this week how long that goes. But it's a very impressive streak, and they've been a very impressive team. So thanks for catching up and staying with me if you did. Because if you didn't, then you don't know that you didn't, so it's no point in that. And, you know, with that twisted logic, I'll sign off. And yeah, it's like some old thing to sign as well. Maybe I'll just stop talking and talk to you next week. Thanks for listening in. And it's Sam Smith. Oh, that's me. Yeah, I should know that. Bulls.com. Yeah, and check out my NBA column. And iTunes, subscribe for my podcast.